Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 421 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host Dave, and with me this week is
To Infinity and Beyond.
Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, David. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's lovely to have you back on. I was hoping to have Gray on this week because it is Gray's birthday this week, but he's birthday celebrating today, so that's why he's going to be on next week, and we've switched things around a bit, so you're back on a week earlier than you would normally be. But lovely to have you on. So what have you been up to?
I'll save the big thing for last. So I've been watching Invincible. Obviously got the second season. I believe I read somewhere it's been renewed for 3 and 4, which I don't know if that's official, right. But yes. That would make sense anyway. So I don't know if I've liked this second season more than the first, but both of them I very much enjoyed. And it's interesting when you, because I'm on, just for reference, I'm on episode, I can't remember if it's 6 or 7, but like I've got like 2 or 3 episodes left, I think, something like that. So things are really, really kicking off in those later episodes. But no, it's been very, very good so far. It's interesting how much it sort of has a deliberately confusing start in a certain way. And I almost wondered to a point, as like, have I played the wrong episode? That kind of thing. But then things get a bit more explained later on, which is very, very good. I'm almost interested in like all the little bits going on from all the different characters. You've got like this guy who had something happen to him last season and he's got something going on.
Donald.
Yeah. Yes. You'd think that's a spoiler, by the way, but apparently it really isn't. But all that stuff that's going on there, I'm liking in media sometimes, I know these are all a bit different examples, but if you take like Lies of P, Westworld and that, this whole idea of if you're not fully human, what does it mean? There's like a theme across those three things of like, okay, if I'm not completely human, what does that mean? Kind of feel emotions, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought that was quite good, especially sort of the bathroom sort of reveal scene of that. I thought that was done really quite well. I think what's going on with, well, Omni-Man's always doing something crazy in one way or another, particularly this season and the way that all got revealed. It was like, wow, okay, you're here and you're doing this. I won't say what that bit is because that is a really big, quite a big spoiler, that whole reveal. Because it was strange. You get like about 3 episodes where like Omni-Man's not in it. There's other stuff going on and you're like, wonder where he is. And then there's this bit that gets revealed with him and like, oh, right, this is what you're doing. And then there's this almost like multi-stage reveal where Mark gets sent to do this thing. It's like, oh, I'm just going to go here and do this thing. And then there's this reveal, this reveal, this reveal. Mm-hmm. It was good to see Rhea Seehorn in the voice cast for that, by the way, in those sections.
Yes.
That was quite cool. It's one of them shows, you know, because you've got so many different voice actors in the show anyway. And you have that moment of like, I recognize that voice. And thankfully with the Amazon thing, they've got like, when you bring up the menu, it says like who's in what scene voicing who, which is very useful. It's like, oh, it is her. So I thought that was really quite nice. Extremely talented woman, of course. Really looking forward to seeing what she does with the Apple show as well. Mm-hmm. So that should be good. But yeah, then there was these crazy fights that happened. Those all very good. I find it really intriguing, not just the actual violence itself, but the actual way that combat and fighting happens in this show, and the smacking and the punch, not actually smacking, but the smacking sounds when like people are getting punched, and how really visceral it all is. And there's just these moments in the show where, okay, someone punches someone's face, someone punches someone's stomach or chest, or someone rips off someone's leg or something. And it can be this such a sudden thing where two people are punching each other and then one person punches another's face and like their face goes almost in half. You're like, well, that person's dead.
Yeah.
The way the kind of this sudden sort of, oh, someone's punched someone through the stomach. They suddenly get these injuries. That it's like, oh, we're probably not coming back from that. And some of them do miraculously survive certain injuries. So, and there's this massive, massive set piece fight on this sort of ship. Thought that was done really, really well. Some quite shocking stuff that goes on there. But I think the violence actually fits the show relatively well. I mean, you've got like just the Amazon examples, obviously. You got this with the animated thing. I don't know how on earth you do this in live action. And then you've got kind of The Boys, which is, it's got similarities, but that's, I don't know, that's different in a certain way. But I think I said this before, like with Gen V, the violence on that show feels like it has a bit more narrative purpose at points rather than maybe The Boys. So anyway, I still got about 3 episodes left. Really, really enjoying it. It did take a couple of episodes to kind of get back into it, get back into the swing of things, remember all the different characters, because there's so many different pockets of characters doing different things. But I've really enjoyed it so far. You've, I assume, finished season 2, haven't you?
Yeah, I finished season 2. I mean, my only criticism really of the second season would be how they released it, because it was sort of 4 episodes, then like a 3-month rating, and then 4 more episodes, and you're like, with a season that short, you really need to have it going out weekly, because I know they may have had issues with like getting the animation out or whatever, but they really need to find a way of speeding up the animation process for that, because they do make fun of the animation process at one point in one of the episodes in this, which is quite funny. It's really, really wonderful show, really, really good fun. The voice cast is incredible. Ross McQuant is doing a ridiculous job across, like, because he plays about 4 or 5 different characters. Ross McQuant, who you'll know from The Walking Dead, is a phenomenal mimic. And he's just brilliant at voices. And I mean, he was great as Aaron on The Walking Dead, but he does like the voice of Rudy is the main sort of thing, which was Zach Quinto when he's sort of in his original body, and then Ross McQuant takes over. But he also does the Immortal and does various other characters as well. I mean, the voice cast overall is just insane. I mean, you've got Mark Hamill is in there, Sterling K. Brown, Seth Rogen, Peter Cullen, Tatiana Maslany pops up, Phil Lamar, John Hamm does a voice at one point, Chad L. Coburn, Michael Cutlass. I mean, there's Lenny James. There's loads of Walking Dead people, as you might expect.
I did see this story that, because I couldn't remember that they were in the show, that Ezra Miller got dropped for the second season. I don't ever remember, because I remember seeing that story, and then I thought I couldn't remember who they played.
He was kind of a guest character. He was the mad scientist guy towards the end of the first season.
Okay.
The fact that they've changed his voice is not really a huge role. So yes, technically.
Hence me not remembering it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just saw that pop up and I was like, oh, okay. Didn't remember they were in the show. So anyway, really enjoying that. Going to finish. I am actually trying to juggle a couple of shows because I'm watching Halo as well, which we'll be talking about later on in the week. Yeah, I wanted to bring up Hollyoaks for a change. There's actually some interesting things going on over there. Some really, really big changes are coming up. I remember we talked about the show, not the storylines, but I remember when you had me on the show a few months ago, it might have been. And I think they took it off of Channel 4 and they sort of started putting episodes on YouTube, and they moved basically the way the show was being watched and streamed and stuff. I still just watch it on the Channel 4 app. I've done that for ages now. Still goes out, I think, on E4 and that kind of stuff, and you can watch episodes on YouTube. There was a big story a couple of months ago that I can't remember exact numbers, so don't quote me or whatever, that there was 50 something characters, 55 or so, because when you go through like all the families, all the doctors, there's loads of people. So at the moment, the show runs 5 days a week, so Monday to Friday. It's about 23 minutes, obviously, with about 3 minutes of advert, so roughly about half an hour. And they're going to cut it down to the actual episode length, so 20 minutes, and they're going to 3 days a week. We don't know which days yet, but they're going to 3 days a week because of budget cuts. And that doesn't sound horrible. In fact, it might help things a little bit pacing wise, because, you know, with these soaps, storylines can tend to last a few months, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the really big thing they're having to do is apparently cut 20 characters out of the show.
Ouch.
Which is a very, very big chunk. I think they've revealed three of them so far. It's supposed to be Warren, Diane, and Cindy. Cindy, I think, is one of the two original characters left, because you've got Tony, who's like runs the pub, all that kind of stuff. He's sort of, he's sort of not quite the Phil Mitchell, he's not the same type of person as Phil Mitchell, but he's like the guy who's been like the really, really long time.
Yeah.
He's part of the Hutchinson family. His wife is supposed to be getting cut from the show, so Diane. So those are three really big cuts to start off with. Although Warren, like his character's got a bit stale, he's just been a bit too murderous for a while.
Right.
He's sort of, you know, when they have the bad guy of the show, that like the bad boy sort of thing. He's been playing that role for a long time, but they haven't really done enough with his character.
Right.
But that means they've still got quite a few left. We did just have someone called Sharon leave, who was a doctor. I don't know if she's officially part of the cuts, because she left last week. Because what's supposed to actually happen in the show, and this is supposed to happen in September, again, three episodes, 20 minutes each for each of those. They always do have the show in. So if you see like a newspaper in the show or a date, it'll always be the same actual real world date of the episode.
Yes.
And what they're going to do in the show is not jump a year forward in terms of, oh, it's going to be September 2025, but a year's worth of events will have passed in the show. And I think they're going to use that. Some characters are going to have like, oh, this is what happened to so-and-so, or some people are probably going to die. And I mean, you can't have like a big crash that kills 20 people. That would just be really, really silly. So you have that. And then there's going to be some characters. Scott's another one that I just remembered. They said they were going to cut, who's also quite a relatively big character. He's been in it a while as well. And some of them are just going to kind of disappear off screen, which is a really big shame. But that this is like, because I've been watching the show since 2010, and this is probably like the biggest, I know, yeah, they've had stunts where four or five people died. It's, you know, big kind of, they always now and again have big stunts to boost things, change things up. People die, storylines get created out of that. But the way this sounds like it's going to happen is like some people don't think the show's maybe going to survive this. Although there was a story the other day that since they did the, what we talked about before, which is changing it to streaming, because more people are streaming stuff than watching on TV and that kind of thing, that the ratings have gone up.
Okay.
They didn't say that was specifically because of because a couple of the storylines have been quite good lately. Like the Carter stuff that's going on is really interesting. You got the thing with Kitty and Ro that's quite interesting as well. You got still Warren being an hot-headed idiot, but that's nothing new. You've also just had someone introduced from EastEnders called Sharon. She's like a not great character, but anyway, I feel like that probably is like, okay, we've now had a good few months of doing this streaming version of the show, and people just seem to be getting to it better, and you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
we'll have to see, but it's good to know that the ratings did go up at least somewhat before this really, really big change happens. But 20 characters is quite a lot to do.
Yeah.
Hopefully they could, because some the ones they've announced already are quite big characters, like especially Cindy and Diane. Mm. They've had like some massive things in the show. So I know you don't watch the show at all, but what do you think of this is quite big. So.
Yeah, no, that is a huge, huge cut. I mean, I don't follow soap news much at all, so I wasn't even aware this was happening. But yeah, that's a huge, huge cut. Presumably, like you say, it is a cost-cutting measure to save money. But I mean, I'm glad they're finding a way of keeping it going, because I mean, we have lost soaps completely in the past. Brookside, for example, was the other big one that, and rather than completely end it, they're moving with the times and finding ways to do it. It's one of those things as well. Hollyoaks has been quite a good breeding ground for actors. The amount of people that you look back, you know, they'll pop up in some big US show and you look back through their CV, it's like, oh, they're Rod Hollyoaks. It's a bit like when you used to look through any British actor's CV, they'd have like doctors on there. Hollyoaks is another one of those kind of training areas. So from a training point of view, it's actually quite an important show to keep around, because we lost doctors. And it's one of those things where a lot of British actors get their start. Yeah, I mean, there's huge names that have gone through Doctors, Casualty, those sort of soapy kind of dramas are where a lot of actors cut their teeth and get training on things. And Hollyoaks is another one. And I mean, it's incredible the amount of people that you look at that have gone through that soap and then gone on to do other things. So I'm glad that they're finding a way of keeping it around and it's surviving, even if they are having to make cuts and stuff. So at least it's still there, which is good.
Yeah. So we'll see how they handle that. Still a few months away yet, but we'll see. Hopefully not too many characters leave between now and then. I mean, in the last episode, somebody had a stroke. So, well, the last one that I watched.
Right.
So we'll see. Anyway, what have you been up to, David?
Well, I've got a few new TV shows, but I'll start off with a game, which is Manor Lords. Have you heard of this game? Because I know you're a console gamer more than a PC gamer. It's a medieval strategy game, features quite in-depth city building. It's also got large-scale tactical battles in it as well. Quite a complex economy, social simulations. As you guess from the title, you are ruling a land as a medieval manor lord, and it's got seasons in it, and you sort of build up your city. It's just been released into early access. It's sort of part city builder, part Total War in some respects, although it's not as big as the Total War full kind of major battle simulations. The reason I picked this up is because there has been a lot of talk about it. It's actually quite a phenomenal feat because it is a game that was backed by Patreon originally and by a guy called Greg Steichen, I think his name is. He's the creator and the sole developer of it. So it's a single developer game and it looks like a AAA game. I mean, it's beautiful in the way that it's done. But it got a lot of traction on Steam. It actually had, just before it went live, it was up to 3 million wish lists on Steam. That's sort of people saying, yes, I'm interested in this game, which is the highest wishlisted game on Steam. And when it actually released into early access earlier this week, it surpassed 100,000 concurrent players within hours of its release and was trending number one selling game on Steam. I mean, it's been a huge launch for him. And as I say, it's a solo developer. For a game that is a massive city builder, that is an absolutely phenomenal feat. Having played around with it a bit, it is still in early access, so there is still some way to go. I rather like the attitude he's had to the release, though, in that when you open it up, it does make a very clear statement of, this is an early access game, some things might not work as expected, I'm obviously working on improving it, and this is what it is. It's an early access game. It's currently on Steam for 25% off, but he even came out and said, I understand money's tight at the moment for some people. If you're thinking, oh, but I want to get the 25% discount, don't worry. Don't worry about buying it now. You know, buy it if you want to buy it. If you want to wait a bit, that's absolutely fine. We'll be running the 25% discounts at various points throughout early access release. So, you know, you don't need to go and rush out and buy it now. And that's been his attitude towards it, which I think is a really nice, refreshing way of doing it, considering how many issues there have been with massive AAA releases, looking at New City Skylines 2, where they've done everything they can to get people to buy early and then they've rushed the game out and it's not been finished. So I think this has been a great strategy for him. What is there feels very, very polished. It looks beautiful. He worked quite hard on getting the historical accuracy right. He brought historians in to look at how the towns were set up and what the buildings were like. It's got some interesting little features in there, like when you place down housing plots, they have backyards where you can add in things like growing vegetables or services like blacksmithing rather than putting down separate sort of blacksmithing buildings and stuff. So there's some really interesting ideas he's got for it. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing where he goes with it. I think it's been a phenomenal launch for him. It's called Manor Lords. It's currently at 25% off. It's £26.24 on Steam. But as he says, if you don't want to go and jump into it just yet, they'll be running the 25% discount things on later dates. I know where city builders aren't really your thing usually, so.
Yeah, I know they're more your sorts of games. No, this isn't something I really noticed or pops up. In fact, when you sent me this list, I hadn't really heard of it before. So, but glad to hear it's going well. But yeah, early access obviously can be finicky stuff, but it's early access for a reason. So. Yeah,
and he's made it very clear that it's early access, which is the important thing. You know, definitely the one I'll be keeping an eye on. I've been enjoying playing around with it. Probably one that I will put down and go back to as they sort of develop more and release more updates and that sort of stuff. On to the TV, though. And the first one I want to talk about is Clarkson's Farm, which is back for its third season on Prime Video on the 3rd of May. I have had some previews of this. They actually sent me four episodes. I've watched the first two. I would have watched the first four, but the preview system that Prime Video uses puts so many banner things across the... Like, you know, when they send you previews of stuff, they, like, embed your email address across the picture in some places so you can't take photos of the screen. And
your information. Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredibly intrusive on the one that Prime Video uses. And I was kind of like, well, it's coming out on the 3rd of May. I've watched the first two episodes. I'm going to watch the others without all the rubbish over the top of it. So I got a good feel of it for the first couple of episodes, though. Really, really enjoyed it. I mean, it will very much come down to how much you can stand Jeremy Clarkson. I find him quite good in this show. And it's Return to Diddley Squat Farm, and it is facing some fairly serious challenges. The lovely thing about this is it is a very genuinely him trying to run a farming business, and it is something that is genuine, you know. So they're having quite a tough year. We had one of the hottest summers in the year that this was filmed, and the crops are starting to fail due to the hot weather. You've got inflation starting to run rampant, so the cost of buying stuff Finn is all running sky high, and he's battling the council over the restaurant and even the farm shop, which they've had up and running as well. So there is a lot of issues going on with the farm. Jeremy's trying to come up with a creative way of making more money, which then brings you into the very traditional Jeremy Clarkson schemes. And what he decides to do is he hands the arable farming, which is the actual farming of the fields and stuff, he hands that over to Caleb as farm manager, who has been his sort of right hand from the first season. So he hands all the arable farming directly over to Caleb and says, you deal with that. But half the farm is made up of wildland like hedgerows and trees and all that sort of stuff. So he's like, what if I can make money out of the unfarm land in some way? So there are various schemes that he comes up with, including sort of, you know, growing mushrooms or bringing pigs onto the farm or collecting nettles or berries or stuff that he can do out of the unfarm bit of the land. And he's trying to make money out of that. So basically sets up a competition between him and Caleb as to who can make the most money out of the two sides of the farm. So there is a bit of a sort of game thing going on with this season. There is also a new person that arrives on the farm with a slightly new type of farming, which puts Caleb's nose out of joint slightly as well, which is quite fun. It's a really interesting show, and I never ever thought I would say that about a farming show. It's just not the sort of thing that I thought I'd enjoy watching, but it's so interesting and so well done. I really, really wonderful, well put together series. But third season is out on the 3rd of May, so you can go and check it out on Prime Video. Then it is worth going to check that out, whether you've got an interest in farming or not. And yes, it does come down to whether you could stand Jeremy Clarkson or not. And in a voice, I entirely understand people that can't, but the show itself is a really entertaining one. Moving over onto Netflix and Dead Boy Detectives, which is this new series that is sort of set in the Sandman universe. It's from the people that did Doom Patrol, and originally was going to be a Max series, and then they moved it over onto Netflix and made it part of that Sandman universe. It is based on characters created by Neil Gaiman and Matt Wagner. It's an 8-episode series and follows two teenage boys who are obviously dead because they are Dead Boy Detectives, so they're ghosts, and they have a friend that we meet in the first season called Crystal Palace. There is a reason why she has that name, because obviously that's the name of a place and a football team. She's actually played by a Hollyoaks actress, Cassius Nelson. She played a character called Jade, I think, in Hollyoaks.
Oh, yeah.
She plays Crystal, and the two boys, who are Edwin and Charles, are played by George Rextrew and Jaden Revery. Jaden was in Fate the Winx Saga. Those are the sort of main three we initially meet. And Crystal is a psychic, so she can see the boys, who are obviously ghosts and can't be seen by most people. And they basically go and solve ghostly crimes, issues where ghosts are stuck, and getting them to move on from their ghost life and move into the afterlife. The only slight issue with this is that they obviously are ghosts themselves and really shouldn't be doing what they're doing. So the moment they manage to solve a case and get the ghost to move on, they need to get out there really quick, because if death shows up, there's a chance that death will claim them as well. And death is played by the same actress that played death in the main Sandman show as well. There are a couple of other characters in there. There's a character called Nico, who is the sort of neighbor of Crystal. She is a sort of Japanese manga watching, quite sort of quiet character when we first meet her. And you've got Bianca Cloakru in there as well, who plays a character called Jenny, who is the owner of the butcher shop, which Crystal and Nico rent rooms above. You might recognize that last name. And Brenna is the little sister of Kaylee from Big Bang Theory. And Bianca has actually been in a couple of her shows. She voices Batgirl in the Harley Quinn series, and she was also popped up in The Flight Attendant as well. It's very interesting watching Brianna work in this, because you can see a lot of Kaylee's mannerisms. So it's obviously something that they've picked up off each other. I mean, she's a great actress. I've done nothing against her or her acting. I think she's doing a wonderful job in this, but there are certain mannerisms that she does which are very, very similar to Kaylee's. I find it quite funny just watching that. The show itself, really quite enjoyable, reminds me quite a lot of Lockwood & Co., which unfortunately they canned. Hopefully this stays around for a little bit longer, because it's attached to the Sandman universe, and I think that may help it survive a little bit longer, I hope. But very, very enjoyable. It's produced by the Berlantiverse people, because it was originally sort of whole part of that side of the sort of, like say, the Doom Patrol thing. The Dead Boy Detectives did show up in Doom Patrol, but played by different actors. So this is a entirely new version that sits within the Sandman universe. Very, very enjoyable so far. I'm about four episodes in. So have you caught any of this yet?
No. It's funny because it went quiet for like a long, long time, didn't it? And then it suddenly popped back up again. But no, I've not seen this or the Sandman stuff. Would you say that this is similar? You know how iZombie is like the DC Vertigo stuff? This is sort of in that area, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's right, very much right in that sort of area. It reminds me, like I say, kind of in that sort of Lockwood & Co. kind of vibe. iZombie as well would be a touchstone for it. There's a lot of those sort of similarities, I think, in there. But yeah, interesting, well put together cases. There is an overarching story of the fact that Crystal has lost her memory, which is why she's called Crystal Palace, because that's the place, I think, where she was found, but she has no memory of the rest of her life. So there is that story sort of running through it. And you've also got the background of the boys as well, and the fact that they are not really supposed to be on Earth, so they're being hounded by people that want to sort of drag them back to the afterlife. So there is other stuff going on as well, but each thing is a case of the week, essentially. They're very, very likable. They're very well acted, enjoyable characters. I'm really rather enjoying that show. So I'm sure Netflix will cancel it after one season. Worth checking that out. All of the first season of that is up on Netflix right now. And the last show I've got is called Red Eye, which is on ITVX. You can binge your way through the whole of it. I think it's going out on ITV1 as well, but it is on ITVX, so you can go and just binge the whole thing. Stars Jing Lucy, who was in Crazy Rich Asians and Gangs of London, and Richard Armitage, who you know from a million things, including a lot of those Netflix dramas. They're in a race against time at 30,000 feet when a man is flown back to China for answer for the, in quotes, crimes he committed. He finds himself in a deadly conspiracy. The basic setup for it is Armitage plays a character called Dr. Matthew Nolan. He's been at a conference in China. diner. The actual opening scene of it is him stumbling out of a club, seemingly having been drugged, and he's been injured in his side, trying to get away from some bouncers that seem to be chasing him. He gets in a car, drives away, the car crashes. You then see him stumble away from the car, and next thing we see is he's flown home. But when he gets back into London, before he can get through security, he is detained by the border security at the airport and is told that he's committed a crime in China and he's going to be flown back. And they bring in Jin's character, who is Hannah Lee, who is a police officer in the UK, who is brought in to escort him back on the plane. It's a 6-episode series, and it's something I binged through in basically 2 nights. I mean, I would have been one night, but it was getting quite late by the end of the first night, so I left the last episode and a half for the next night, but I couldn't stop watching it. It was just really well done. Very much sort of twisty-turny conspiracy theory. Most of it does take place on the plane. I don't want to give any more details away than that. I'm sure if you go digging, there are some plot holes in there, but I found it very compelling and really rather enjoyable. There are some of the people you might recognize in there, such as Leslie Sharp, who's been in a million things, from Full Monty to Help to The Starlings and a load of other stuff. Jonathan Harris, who is in Stark Materials, Avenue 5 and The Night Manager. Maido Hamada, who was popped up in things like Foundation and 24 and Homeland and various other stuff as well. So there are some of the faces you'll recognize in there, as well as the two leads. But very bingeable story over 6 episodes. It does seem to be one of those which, like Vigil, that BBC show, was very much designed as a sort of one season thing, but I could potentially see them taking these characters and doing a second season, which obviously wouldn't be set on a plane, it would be something else. But I think there is more you could do potentially with those characters. Certainly well worth checking out, but that's all on ITVX if you want to go and look at that. I'm sure this isn't one you've looked at, because I know you don't look at ITVX very much.
Yeah, it's just one that I don't. Sometimes it's not forgetting the shows, it's, you know, we have so many different ones of these to click on. So, but I do like things that take place on planes, so I might have to try and have a look at this. Yeah. I think I saw it advertised, but I'd forgotten about it until you mentioned it just now.
Yes, really good conspiracy drama, well worth checking out, and it is all up on ITVX, which of course, I mean, ITVX is free as well. I mean, you can pay to remove the ads, but it is free, so you can go and check that out on ITVX. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups. It's CBS in the cancellation hot seat again this week. They have cancelled one and renewed one. The cancellation was CBS's sting in the tail for this year, because you know every year there is one show that they cancel and everybody goes, what? No, you can't cancel that. It was Magnum, I think, 2 years ago. And then it was SWAT, which they cancelled, uncancelled, cancelled and then uncancelled again.
They did it that many times.
Well, yeah, they cancelled it and brought it back, but said it was going to be the last season, so they brought it back but sort of cancelled it because it was a final season, and then they brought it back again. So this time around though, it's NCIS Hawaii that is going to be ending after 3 seasons, which we'd heard rumors that it was possibly on shaky ground, but it's still a very successful show. So it's still a bit of a surprise that they've gone for that one being cancelled, because they've renewed NCIS, they've renewed NCIS Sydney. They have 2 new ones coming in, which is NCIS Origins, which is the Young Gibbs series, which is coming to CBS. And they've also got the Tony and Ziva spin-off series, but that's been done for Paramount Plus. It's actually numbers wise, as we were talking about last week, the problem with CBS this year has been that they have something like 14 of the top 20 dramas across all US TV. So it's one of those situations where they'd already ordered, I think, 5 new shows, and they just don't have the space for everything. So something was going to have to give. And they're also prepping the network for a potential sale as well. So they're being quite vicious with some of their cuts and their streamlining. In any other year or on any other network, this would have survived, much like some of the shows we talked about getting cancelled last week. The problem with NCIS Hawaii is it's more expensive to produce because it's shot in Hawaii. They shoot it at the Hawaii Film Studio, which is actually owned by the state. It's where they shot Magnum and Hawaii Five-O and most of the other things that are shot around Hawaii. So it's not shot at their own studio, it's shot somewhere else. I suspect that probably makes it more expensive. It was 8th out of the 14 dramas on CBS this season and 12th overall in US TV. So with those sort of numbers, you would have expected it to survive. But as I say, they've had to make some tough calls this year. And it's not viewing figures either, which is the other thing, because it ranked higher in viewers than FBI Most Wanted, FBI International and SWAT. So it is very much a case of looking at how much it costs versus what the viewing figures are and making a decision about whether this is worth keeping around. And unfortunately, I think it's just more expensive. I suspect because it's not shot somewhere that they have full control over it. You may be thinking, well, how could NCIS Sydney got renewed? NCIS Sydney is a co-production, although it is shot, I think, in Australia, it is a co-production with an Australian network. So that will make it cheaper for them to bring that back. I know this is the one that has caused outrage this year amongst fans. Unfortunately, I don't see a route to it getting rescued because it's attached to a big franchise. So it's not like somebody else can probably pick it up. It's not like it can go to another network. I just don't see a way of bringing this back unless CBS themselves decide to reverse the decision.
I don't really know plot-wise much about any of these shows. The only two procedurals I watch is 911 and Lone Star, and that's because I really like the characters.
Yeah.
Like the amount of times on Geek Town that we like bring these shows, obviously there's a lot of them, so there's a lot of things going on with them, whether it's air dates, renewals, cancellations. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on with them all. It just feels like there's, now to say obviously there's too many procedurals on TV is a silly thing to say because that's obvious, but yeah. Just the word NCIS gets brought up and SWAT this and that. I just wonder if, have these got to like an Arrowverse point where it's sort of, okay, there's 5 or 6 of these, or maybe even, I don't even know how many of them are. Are any of them filling any sort of different purpose? Because even when you did have the like 5 Arrowverse shows, they were released for different heroes and they had sort of their individual purposes, I suppose.
I mean, I think with these tonally, they are different, you know, I mean,
okay.
I think right. The NCISs are slightly tonally different to things like the FBIs. They're a bit lighter, I think, some of the NCIS stuff.
Okay.
And procedurals are as much a fabric of the US TV networks as mm-hmm. the ITV crime dramas or even soaps are in the UK, I think. So they're always going to be a lot of these sort of big US procedurals around. I think we're possibly getting to a point where they're going to get shorter runs because they're usually 22 episode seasons. And I think maybe the networks will start to cut those down a little bit, but they're always going to be about because they are frequently procedurals are the things which are the highest rated things on network TV. It's what network TV does very, very, very well. So yes, there are a lot of them, and quite literally half of them, if not more, are made by Dick Wolf. But I don't think it is an oversaturation of it. Yes, there are a lot of them, but the reason that there are a lot of them is because they sell well. So, and as I say, I mean, the numbers for this, had it been on another network, would have been absolutely fine. Had it been any other year, it may have been fine. It's just CBS had such a strong lineup. And they'd already ordered 5 new shows. So, yeah. You know, it's just one of those things, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, NCIS Hawaii has gone after three seasons. There are a couple more cancellations in the UK. Fantasy Football League, which is the reboot of the Badil and Skinner thing that had Matt Lucas and Ellis James as the leads for that. That's been canned after two seasons on Sky, apparently. And Hullraisers, it looks like that's going to be ending on Channel 4 after two seasons. That was an article out of the Sun, I believe, so take that maybe with a pinch of salt. But I mean, I suspect that is possibly true. But yes, Fantasy Football League also ending as well. I didn't watch any
on
of that.
On that, obviously I'm the football person here, but I remember hearing about it coming back. I think I saw one advert or trailer and I was like, oh, that looks all right. I don't even actually know if it was the same show, which goes to show you about that. And then I didn't hear another peep about it. So
I think the problem with that has been they brought back the format, but it didn't have Badil and Skinner on it. And I think that was such a huge draw for the original. And I'm sure it was a perfectly reasonable, entertaining show. It just, I'm not sure it had the additional edge it needed outside of people that are really interested in football. I think maybe had you brought it back with the original guys, it might have found more feet, but that's going after two seasons.
Yeah, saw one trailer and then that was it. Forgot all about it.
Exactly. So. On the renewal side, though, as I mentioned, CBS did renew something, which was The Equalizer. That has been renewed for a fifth season at CBS. Season 4, by the way, is coming to Sky Witness on the 14th of May. That will be coming fairly soon, but they've renewed that for a fifth season. That's Queen Latifah's Equalizer series. They were sorting out contracts with her, I think. That was basically what they were waiting for before they renewed that. Law and Order Organized Crime, which was the one Law and Order that was left over on NBC, that, although we're not 100% officially confirmed at the moment, but it does seem to be moving to Peacock, as we mentioned last week. The only change there won't make any difference in the UK. It'll still air on Sky Witness, but it will be a shorter season because Peacock tends to do 10 episode seasons rather than like 14, 16 episode seasons. And I think when they first brought in Organized Crime, it was 10 episodes, and then second season was 16 episodes. So it'll be back to 10 episodes for the fifth season. So it sort of jumped around in the amount of episodes. Looks like that is going to move to Peacock in the US, basically because it's a slightly darker show. It seems to do better on Peacock than it does on NBC. That seems to be the reasoning for it. So they're sort of shifting the budget over onto Peacock, essentially. And in the UK, Beyond Paradise, which I think comes to a surprise to no one, has been renewed for a third season because that's been a massive, massive hit, that spin-off from Death in Paradise. That will be back for a third season, and also we'll have a Christmas special in 2024. So that will be back this Christmas. Hugely successful, massive numbers ever since it launched, but you know, for the second season as well when that launched. So that will be coming back as well. In terms of pickups and other news, we went through all the sort of shows that have been cancelled and renewed last week. Obviously, there's those couple of changes to CBS. Pretty much everything else is the same. There was one CBS pickup that I forgot to mention last week and I missed, which was that George and Mandy Young Sheldon spinoff we spoke about a few weeks back. That has actually officially been picked up. It was actually picked up in March and I somehow missed the news, but that has been properly picked up to series. So that apparently is definitely coming.
Nice.
Which is good. So there will be a continuation of the Big Bang Young Sheldon franchise with that on CBS by the looks of things.
Nice. Just looking for, waiting for E4 to give us, or anybody, it doesn't matter who shows it, but to give us the fifth and final season.
Yes.
When that comes around. And then swiftly move into this. So
yes, that will be good. So another pickups, Orphan Black, which I know is, 2017, I think that finished airing, but Orphan Black seasons 1 to 5 are available now on ITVX. If you've not seen this show, go and watch it. It's absolutely phenomenal. All 5 seasons are now dropped on there. That is, of course, because Orphan Black Echoes is due to launch on Thursday, the 16th of May on ITVX in the UK, with all episodes landing as a box set. I have seen the first few episodes of Orphan Black Echoes, and that is a really good continuation series. I don't think you necessarily need to have seen the original Orphan Black to be able to jump into Echoes, but it doesn't hurt. And the original show's such a great series. I would say go and start watching through it right now anyway, if you've not watched it already. But yeah, seasons 1 to 5 are up on there. Even if you're just going to watch it for Tatiana Maslany's performance, which is outstanding.
Which is a lot of the show.
Yeah, which is, yeah, because she plays multiple characters in the show. It is absolutely outstanding, her performance in that. I can't stress just how great that show is. So, yeah.
It ended really well from what I remember as well. So.
Yes, it had a really solid ending to it.
You can know as you're going through it that it's got a nice conclusion to it. So.
Yes, it wasn't cut short or anything. It had a proper ending to it. All 5 seasons are up on ITVX. So, yes, certainly go and check that out.
16th of May, that's really soon, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, a couple of weeks away. So, yeah, that's going to be coming up very, very soon. As I say, I've seen the first couple of episodes of Orphan Black Echoes, and Kirsten Ritter's is great as a new lead. It takes the same sort of vibe of the original, but does it in a slightly different, interesting way. So, I think it's one of
which
those...
Which is what it should do. I suppose, don't just be like a copy paste sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's good.
The whole original show is very much about clones, and the spin-off sort of is as well, but in a slightly different way, and they've done an interesting thing with that. So don't want to say too much about that until it sort of launches and people have had a chance to see it, but really, really good, both the original and the spin-off. So 16th of May for the spin-off, but the first 5 seasons of Orphan Black on ITVX right now. Hudson and Rex is back on Alibi for its 6th season. It's premiering with a double bill. That'll be on the 12th of May, which is a Sunday at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. they'll be on Alibi, so you can catch that. The Outlaws, which is Stephen Merchant's series about the guys that meet at the community service centre, season 3 of that lands on BBC One on the 30th of May, they've said. So that's coming at 9 p.m. on 30th of May. That will be back. And there's an interesting new show from Joe Lycett as well, which is coming in 2025, but it's a new travel show. I love this concept because Joe Lycett's great, and he is obviously from Birmingham, and they've set him up so he's going to be travelling to various Birminghams in North America, because apparently there are 18 different Birminghams across North America. So the idea is that he's going to explore their history and collective Brummy cultural elements, and goes to talk to the various people to form sort of friendships agreements with as many US Birminghams as he possibly can. Given that there are Birminghams all over America, and some of them are in the Deep South, and some of America, including Canada as well, because there is a Birmingham in Canada, I think that's just going to be a very interesting kind of travelogue series. It could be quite fun, that. But it's coming in 2025, apparently, that one. That will be one to look out for on Sky. Couple of other news stories. Curfew, which was a show we talked about a while ago. That is its working title, because there was a Sky show called Curfew. And I suspect that title may change. But there is a show called Curfew. It's coming to Paramount Plus, and whoever is casting it seems to be a huge EastEnders fan, because they've casted 4 people who have previously been in EastEnders as the latest round of casting. The show is an adaptation of Jane Cowie's novel called After Dark. It's a society that is governed by the Women's Safety Act, where men are tracked by ankle tag and confined to their homes by a strict curfew from 7 p.m. every night. A woman's body is discovered brutally murdered in curfew hours. Veteran police officer Pamela Green believes a man must be responsible. However, in a world where men are bound by the curfew system, if Pamela proves a man committed the murder, this could bring the Women's Safety Act crashing down. But powerful forces are determined to make the curfew a success and will do whatever it takes to silence Pamela and her relentless pursuit for the truth. Series leads, which were already announced, are Sarah Parrish from Staying Close, he's Pamela, and Mitchell Robertson from Mayflies plays a rookie cop called Eddie, who is shadowing Pamela. Mandic Gill from Doctor Who is also in there, and Alexandra Burke from Sister Act, and she was a singer, wasn't she, Alexandra Burke, I think, from
yes.
So yes, she's also an actress, but yes, she's in the cast as well. So the new cast joining are Lucy Benjamin from EastEnders and was also in The Detectorists. You've got Larry Lamb, who was in EastEnders, and Gavin and Stacey. You've got Bobby Brazier, who was also in EastEnders, and the legendary Anita Dobson, who was, of course, in EastEnders, and he's also the new mysterious character in Doctor Who as well. Those are the four EastEnders cast. I think some of the others have been in EastEnders as well, actually. You've also got more people joining the ensemble. Tommy McDonald, who was in Alice and Jack. Adam Corson, who was in This Is Us. Louise Pemberton, who was in Legends of Tomorrow. Imogen Sandu, who was in Casualty. James Craven, who was in Coronation Street. Salon Adonu, who was in Man to Man. And Rafael Del Torio, who is a newcomer. Those are the new cast members in it. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of EastEnders people, a lot of British talent in that cast, but it's called Curfew at the moment. I suspect that title may change. It's coming to Paramount Plus. It's a 6-part crime thriller. But interesting setup for it, I think it sounds.
Yeah, some interesting cast in there. Speaking of soap actors or former soap actors, Mandip Gill, who you'll recognise from Jodie's run of Doctor Who, was in Hollyoaks as well.
There you go, yes.
So yeah, interesting to see her joining this. Obviously, we're in a new bit of Doctor Who now, so she's not in that anymore. I could see she has picked up some work after Hollyoaks and stuff, because even though, like you said, some of them from soaps do go on and do some big things, there are some who just do kind of disappear a bit, so it's good to see that she's still in this as well. But yeah, interesting cast. We'll see what this is like, I guess. Yeah,
don't know when that's coming, but I think it's filming. But I think it's an interesting concept, the idea of a sort of, you know, men put under curfew. I think is a sort of interesting setup for, and it's based on a novel, so there is something to work from as well. So yeah, we'll see what that's like when it's lands. But yes, a lot of EastEnders people in that. And Alibi have announced a new legal drama, which is called Mudtown, which stars Erin Richards, who was in Gotham and The Crown, and Tom Cullen, who's in The Golden Becoming Elizabeth. And he's one of those faces that pops up and you go, oh, I know that guy. This is an interesting one. It's another sort of crime series, although it's set in a magistrate court and follows Magistrate Claire Lewis-Jones, played by Richards, as she faces a personal turmoil while presiding over cases at Newport Magistrates Court. When Ned Humphreys, a childhood friend of Becca, Claire's daughter, faces arson charges, Claire's loyalty to her community is put to the test. Matters are made worse when a local criminal kingpin, St. Pete, played by Cullen, appears on the scene. Claire and St. Pete go back a long way, where her past come back to threaten her present. As she delves deeper into the case, her suspicions grow around her daughter and her new bad boy boyfriend, Sonny Higgins. Claire uncovers a web of criminal activity that could put her and her family at risk. Erin Richards, Tom Cullen, Matthew Gravel, who was in Broadchurch, and Steeltown Murders, Lauren Morrells, who was in The Red King, Lloyd Meredith, who was in The Red King and Gran Turismo, Kimberly Nixon, who was in Salisbury Poisonings, a few other people in there as well. It's from Hannah Daniels, who wrote Keeping Faith and Holby City, and somebody called Georgia Lee, who was also a magistrate as well. So, you know, she should be lending some authenticity to it. I said it's set in Newport Magistrates Court. What's interesting about this is they apparently are shooting it in English and Welsh. So it's not going to be English with subtitles. They are apparently shooting it back to back as an English and Welsh series. So it's been done in conjunction with SC4. So it sounds like they're going to do the whole thing in English and then reshoot the whole thing in Welsh as well, which is interesting. But it's been made for Alibi, though. I mean, that's where a lot of people will obviously see it. And it will also go out in Welsh on SC4 as well. It's called Mudtown. Don't know when that's going to land, but I thought that sounded like an interesting one.
It sounds like a British drama on Alibi, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very much the sound like that. Yeah, so it'll fit nicely on there, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah. It's interesting. Alibi are doing sort of a few more original dramas, UK TV are. They've been sort of, you know, some have been successful, some could have had a bit more quality added to them. But, you know, it's good that they are doing this sort of stuff, I think. That's called Mudtown. We want to keep an eye out for at some point in the future. That's all the news for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. Bow, 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 bow. So, highlights for next week. We have Shard Lake, which is this Tudor murder mystery series based on the best-selling novels by British author C.J. Sanson. It's coming on the 1st of May to Disney+. It's got Sean Bean in it, so roll the dice to see how long Sean Bean survives. That's always the thing with these shows. Yeah, Shard Lake, that's called. It looks kind of interesting. 1st of May on Disney+. The Tattooist of Auschwitz, that series lands on Sky Atlantic on the 2nd of May at 9 p.m. This is a true life story of a Jewish prisoner who is given the job of tattooing identification numbers onto fellow prisoners in the World War II concentration camp. There's been a lot of press around that one, so I'm sure you've seen trailers and bits and pieces, but that's Tattooist of Auschwitz. That's coming on the 2nd of May at 9 p.m. on Sky Atlantic. Clarkson's Farm, as I mentioned earlier, season 3 of that lands on the 3rd of May on Prime Video. Welcome to Wrexham is back on the 3rd of May as well. That is for season 3. I'm very much looking forward to that being back. And then on May the 4th, Star Wars Day, we have Star Wars Tales of the Empire. That is the follow-up sort of to Tales of the Jedi, following two evil characters or Empire side characters. It's a new short form animated series from Dave Filoni. And The Responder, which is the Martin Freeman Liverpool set cop drama, that returns for a second season on the 5th of May to BBC One. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So there's some good stuff this week, definitely, I think. I'll be watching most of those, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome to Wrexham, even though it's a documentary, so obviously know some of the stuff that's happened there. It's interesting they've done this so late in the season, but I suppose they filmed
it
in a different way.
It's still earlier than it was previously, because, I mean, they used to put it out in sort of, you know, way, way after the end of the season. At least it's...
Yeah, so but we're good to see that back. I think we're going to see Ryan Reynolds three times this year, because it'd be that. There's a new film called If coming out, which is for Imaginary Friend, and of course that the little Marvel film.
Yes, that tiny little Marvel Deadpool film, yes.
Yes, that's always a good thing. So yeah, good stuff.
Awesome. That's all the stuff coming up on TV this week. Some good stuff in there. If people want to find more of you, where can they find you, Matt?
You can head over to entertainmenttalk.org and your podcast platforms are the same name: TV, games, films, and main eye podcasts. And as you mentioned, we by millimeters just about got past Coventry, even though we that should have been much, much easier, and it got very scary very quickly. And then we did play another game after that, so that was that as well. That did put us into an FA Cup final though against Manchester City again at the end of May, so let's hope we can do a bit better this time. So there's that. Still doing gaming talks, things like that. We're going to have a Fallout Season 1 review hopefully later this week. There's a bunch of films out that I'm trying to get to and review. I did watch Rebel Moon Part 1. I'm going to watch Part 2 today and do hopefully a podcast for that. If I've already done that, that should be out already before this, so go and have a look out for that, because I'm going to watch Part 2 today. Some other films for me to go and check out as well, and yeah, done some other stuff as well recently. So if you want to catch me streaming or the video game side of stuff, basically it's Twitch, eTalk UK, and YouTube, Entertainment Talk Place. So that's me at the moment.
Excellent. So yeah, go and check Matt out on entertainmenttalk.org and all the social medias and all that sort of stuff. Bex, as we mentioned before, is away on hiatus at the moment, so you won't find her anywhere. And Daryl, you can find over on HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series you love which are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, on Blue Sky at Geektown, on Instagram at Geektown UK, TikTok at Geektown UK, and Threads at Geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.